Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. In the early 1990s in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas, local police and the FBI were stymied by a series of bank robberies committed by a suspect they called Cowboy Bob. When they caught the lawbreaker, they were surprised to find Peggy Jo Tallis, a middle-aged woman living a modest life with her aging mother. This weekend, Vassar and New York Stage and Film's Powerhouse Theater presents a musical workshop inspired by Peggy Jo's story and all of the questions it raises. The workshop features Alex Brightman, Ashley Perez Flanagan, Alex Grubbs, Eric Lockley, Claire Rothrock, Kate Schindel, Felix Solis, Barbara Walsh, and Amelia Workman. Cowboy Bob is created by writer Molly Beach Murphy, composer Gina Phillips, and director Annie Tipp. All three join us now. Molly begins the conversation by telling us where she got the idea to create the show about Cowboy Bob.
I was really inspired by an article in Texas Monthly, which was about Cowboy Bob, this bank robber, a middle-aged woman who lived at home with her mother and had this whole secret life where she robbed banks for many years. The cops thought they were looking for a man, and I just thought that was the most badass thing I'd ever heard.
This is very cool. So what happens from being inspired by it? What's the next thing that happens?
I met Annie, who is a director. I'm a writer. We just sort of were talking about things that we really liked, things we thought were very cool. And it sort of, I think, starts from there. Was that what you would say?
Yeah, we wanted to tell the story of this woman, but we were not interested in making a biopic. I think we wanted to try and approach her in an interesting way. And I knew that this story wanted to have music, which is where Gina Phillips comes in, who is the composer, along with Alex Thrailkill. Gina joined our team, and we really started from the ground up all together, just thinking, like, what is the lens through which we see this woman, and whose perspective are we following? Because none of us knew her. The article has information about her, but as our imaginations really started to expand about her, we found all of these new characters surrounding her who had fallen in love with her and kind of tried to model their lives on the adventures that she had had. We've been at it for about 2.5 years, and it's come a long way.
Does the story take place in your show completely in Texas?
Not completely, no. A good part of it takes place in Texas, and what Annie was talking about, these other characters that are sort of inspired by her. We have two sets of characters that are in Hollywood making a movie about this bank robber. The story sort of becomes a big question about who can tell whose stories, what happens when you tell someone else's story, how you can corrupt someone's life to help you fix your own life, and just questions about all of that.
This question is going to start too broad, but tell me where you begin with the music. What's the style or inspiration? Does it come from you, or does it come from the story and from the place?
Yeah, inspiration for the music comes from both. When we first started writing it, the songs were sort of loose impressions of isolated moments in the story or just sort of character sketches. And as we've been moving with the piece and we start getting more and more specific and honing in on all of the different threads that make up the piece, the crafting of the music gets more and more specific. When we started, I knew that country music had to be a color because it's Texas. And and also because, though I am from New Jersey, I secretly love country music. and I was also, I was listening to a lot of old girl bands, the Shangri-Las, the Crystals, and kind of infatuated with this ghost-like quality that that music has. And I was listening to a lot of Bikini Kill, which is less ghost-like, more thrash. So I think all of those things are colors in the show.
So you said you, as you started like researching and learning about people whose life she affected, have you spoken to these people as you developed the show?
No, I mean, all of the characters that we have written about, with the exception of Peggy Jo Tallis, they're all fictional. Okay. And the Peggy Jo in our show is fictional in that we don't know her. Right. And this is kind of an ode to her and a dream of what she might have been like. And we also take, you know, we take our own leaps with the plot to tell her story. I think we've had a lot of fun just allowing ourselves to imagine what kind of people would be inspired by her. And I think a lot of ourselves are represented in those characters, and they are kind of our voice piece to talk about how we struggle with agency in our lives and how we struggle to hone our own power or feel like we can make a change in our life, feel like we can reach higher than we're told that we are allowed to. That is why I think this story really hones in, especially on three women. Three women, three different ages, and the way they see their lives.
I think our story taps into something that I've always really felt intrinsically in, honestly, the culture of Texas, which is you have big land, big sky. You can dream big. You're told, to varying degrees, you're told anything's possible for you. Cowboy Bob inspires that in me, and it also makes me question the ways in which that's absolutely not true. Peggy Jo is born into a set of circumstances where she has very few choices, and the limitation of these choices put her in a place where the most ingenuity that she has is to rob a bank, you know? And how can we do that in our own lives? If we want to change our lives, if we want to have a better anything, what do we have to do to get that? Who will we become? Is that someone we like? Will we become someone who can be lawful, ethical? If we want something for ourselves so badly, what will we do to get it?
There is, it seems, very little information about what she was thinking. Like, there's no diary or something like that to know what she was saying. She didn't, when she was incarcerated, she didn't talk a lot to her attorney or to the police or to the FBI. Do you, as you've developed this, ever wish you had like a little bit more from her to know what was going on in her head, or does that matter to you guys?
I think it would be nice in that there would be fewer questions and more answers, but in a sense, the questions are where we begin our play. It's where our story begins. It's where our imagination runs wild, and that this piece becomes something completely different. It becomes about all of these people who have the same questions as we do, and they filter it through their lives, and they become their own versions of Cowboy Bob.
I know you're in the middle of it right now here at Vassar, but what so far, what have you learned about the show here? What has happened here?
I think we are all truly humbled by the group of actors that have gathered to help us bring this to life, and the insight that they have been providing to us through talking about the play has allowed us all to start really thinking deeper. You know, we've spent the past few years building this structure for our show. And now that we have these really incredible hearts, minds, and pretty good voices in the room with us, we're starting to really hear the heartbeats of these characters in a new way that is facilitating some really exciting discoveries.
Could you tell me a little bit more about some of the characters? I don't mean we need to go through like the whole list, but just tell me about some of them.
Yeah, there's a waitress named Rena who works at a Chili's that our character of Peggy Jo frequents, and she learns much later about that her regular was a bank robber. And that sort of sets her off on this new journey of this person that I knew that looked like no one special was actually extremely special. And could I be as well?
And then we also have this kind of Hollywood layer. We have these two people both attempting to make their own piece of art based on Peggy Jo's life, and they have very different takes on what her life represents and what it represents to them. So we meet Sharon, a film executive who's in a very precarious position at work. And then we meet a writer named Tripp, who has come to Hollywood with the intent to change his life, to shed some of the darker elements of his past and use Peggy Jo as a vehicle to make him a star. So they provide, I think, a lot of the comedy that lives in the show. And I should also say, I think the show is quite funny. It's very funny to me. It's heartbreaking. The music is powerful and dynamic on many levels, but I think we're getting many colors. I think that's also because of how many different worlds we're seeing. So we have Hollywood, we have, as Molly said, Rena, and then we're also getting to know Peggy Jo's world. So we're meeting her mother. We're meeting her sister, Kathy, who has this perfect seeming life. And as the play goes on, cracks start to emerge and what that is. We meet Peggy Jo's best friend, Stan, who's been a friend since childhood. And we see their relationship bear the weight of Peggy Jo's actions. And oh, yeah. And then two very funny cops.
So speaking of Hollywood, Michael Showalter is going to make a movie about this. You've been working on it longer. When you hear that news, how do you feel?
I'm a huge fan of his. So one, I will say that when I read the article, I said to Molly at some point, this story is so amazing. Somebody's going to make it into a movie. And that's how the Hollywood layer of our show was born. And then 2 years later, we found out that that article had been optioned and that they're making a movie about Peggy Jo. So part of me is like,
like, you deserve some of the back end.
Yeah. Where are my points? But the beautiful thing about it is, this is one take on this incredible woman, and he and whoever he works with and whoever plays Peggy Jo, they will have a completely different and I'm sure incredible take on her. And that's kind of the point. That's kind of one of the points of our story is no one is ever going to get it right about a person. You just have to hope and do your best that you are honoring them through the way you tell stories about them and through the way you choose to live your life.
And all you really have that is true is how they resonate with you. And I think that that's what we're really diving into in the play.
Cowboy Bob, created by Molly Beach Murphy, Gina Phillips, and Annie Tipp, runs this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at Vassar College as part of Vassar and New York Stage and Film's Powerhouse Theater season. To learn more, visit powerhouse.vassar.edu. If you'd like to read the Texas Monthly article that inspired the show, that link is posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable.